So our scripture lesson today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13, and then I'm going to read through 5, verse 1. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believe and so I spoke, we also believe and we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that the grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God, so that we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day, for this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tents we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And so this should be a pretty interesting sermon today, because I've changed my mind about 50 times since I wrote this a week and a half ago. And so what I ended up calling this was endurance, because I think what he's telling us in this part of this letter is there are things that are going to go on in our life, and some of them are really good and some of them are not so good. And the question is how we go through those things and how we come out on the other end. And so when I first started writing this, I said, well, as we get older, and then I couldn't decide what older was. Because when I was those guys' age, I thought if you lived past 30, you were practically, you know, an antique. And now that I'm a lot older than 30, like twice as much, 65 doesn't really seem all that old anymore. So I don't know what older is, but I picked 50 as the magic number. It's arbitrary. I have no idea where it came from. It seemed like a good number. Because it seems to me like when we're under 50, at least this is the way I remember it, I was feeling pretty good, felt pretty strong, could do anything I wanted to. Now, I heard some stories today about people a little older than me doing some work on a house yesterday, and they were saying that maybe they got to age, were doing the work they did, they felt a little older than maybe they felt the day before. And so what we're hearing this letter is, some point in our life, whatever age you become, you don't have the same physical strength that you did when you were younger. You just get to a place, wherever that is, that physical strength is less. But the question is, what happens to us internally? How do our souls, how does our faith grow as we become older? And so there are things that happen in everybody's life that cause either personal sufferings, the loss of loved ones. I was thinking about this on the way here today. 46 years ago, my probably best friend at the time took his life almost to this day. And every time this time of year comes around, I remember that. And so those sufferings that happen on a personal level affect us for the rest of our lives. And then we have things that what I listed as community sufferings. And so for my mom, probably Pearl Harbor, she's 92, she remembers that. For people older than that, it's probably more likely to be September 11th. Probably not so much because we remember it, it's because we saw it. I mean, people didn't really see Pearl Harbor, not immediately like we did on September 11th. And so then you have those community sufferings, and sometimes they weaken us. They physically weaken us because of what they take out of us. But the question that he brings up is, does that make us stronger in our souls in the long run? And so what he's trying to tell us is, no matter what kind of suffering we go through, whether it's an accident, an illness, a death, a tragic event that we witness for some reason, that all those things take a little bit out of our bodies, but they don't have to out of our souls. That we need to remember that our next life in heaven, those kind of sufferings don't exist. And they don't exist for the people that we love if we lost. And so when I was reading this, one of the things that they talked about in the commentary I was reading was, when we read through and Jesus is telling the disciples that he's going to go to Jerusalem and die on the cross, and he does that a number of times, they never really understand that. They just don't get it. But the very next sentence, he says, but I'm going to be resurrected. It's not that I'm never going to be with you again. I'm always going to be with you, because that's how God will live through me, Jesus Christ, for all of us. And so it's not just, well, I'm going to die and that's the end, which they didn't really understand, as I said before, but that I'm going to be back. So we want to... So one of the reasons I always talk about God's sightings is when she talked about the good thing that happened to her with the girls in the balloons. When's the last time you read a story in the newspaper or on the news about two girls stopped and helped a lady get 27 helium balloons in two cars and take them to a location? I mean, it just doesn't happen. Because it's like if something good happens, they just don't share it. But they're glad to tell us all the bad things that happen. And so if you read I read a newspaper, but however you get your news, and you went through based just on the things that were in there, then almost all the world would have to be 99.9% bad. Because there's nothing good. Very seldom. The news I was watching today had an article about Gleaner Food Bank in Indianapolis had made a decision that because there weren't any stores in this area, they were going to put a food pantry in this area just because there were no stores. That was the only good news story of the 30 minutes I watched this morning. Everything else was how something bad happened. And so for us, since we're in this visual time, that's what we see. We see bad things. Bad things really don't run the world. It's just what we're shown over and over and over again. So what I'd like for you to think of is, don't focus on those bad things, but focus on the two girls and the balloons. Because that's more the norm than the bad things. And when we go to heaven, and I hope we all go to heaven, those bad things aren't there anymore. And so when I talk about our job to be disciples and to reach out to others, it's not because we want 300 people in this church. It'd be a little crowded, but we could fit, kind of, sort of. It's because we want everybody to know the Lord and have that chance to go to heaven. The two guys I was listening to on the radio on the way here today ended up talking about what drugs do to people. They got on this drug alcohol and talked about how it often provides people with a moment of pleasure, but it's fleeting, and the only way they can keep that is to continually to get more drugs and more alcohol. We're trying to bring people to know and love the Lord so that their hope, their happiness comes from that relationship and does not require drugs and alcohol and those kind of things to make them feel that way. And so again, when I talk about reaching out to disciple to people to try to bring them to the Lord, it's so that they have that eternal life to look for. In case you guys haven't figured out, sometimes my mind works a little different ways. We all have a length of time that we're going to be on this earth. And we don't know how long that's going to be. Okay? It's different for all of us. But I know that I'm going to be deceased for a lot longer than that. That's why I worry about the eternal lives for people. Because my time on earth is finite. My time in heaven has no end. And I don't think we share that very well sometimes, because people only think about the now. So I took this from Hebrews just to kind of give you an example. And he's talking about faith and when they left Egypt. For faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He wasn't afraid of the king because God was more powerful. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Because he didn't really see God. But he had faith that when God came to him and said, I'm going to get you guys and the whole community out of Egypt, he was going to do that. And he did. So what Paul is saying here is whether you've got the, this was better when he was younger, the Arnold Schwarzenegger body, you know, really pumped up, or you've got the Pee Wee Herman body that's like 12 pounds and like tall and skinny, that no matter what that body looks like, and some of us, depending on what time of lives we've been in, we've gone both ways where we looked more like Pee Wee later or earlier, and more like the Hulk later, that body that we live this life on earth in, we're going to be done with it at some point. And what he wants us to remember is to be faithful, to know, to not be afraid that our real dwelling is going to be in heaven. And to not be concerned with what's going on in the earth. What's going on with our bodies. Now, that's hard. Because when you have a loved one that's ill, when you lose a loved one, we mourn those losses. When Tim died 46 years ago, I was probably 6 months where I just wasn't the same person. To have that really close friend like that. When aunts and uncles died, sometimes you were closer to one than the other. You mourn friends and family differently, depending on your relationship. But it's important for us to remember that no matter when that happens, that when they get to heaven, that body isn't what they went in. That spirit of them being in heaven isn't confined to that skin and bones that we live with on earth. And so I want us to be comforted in knowing that if you're in the right place with the Lord, and it doesn't mean you have to live your whole life that way, were you there at the end? And if the answer is yes, then I believe you're going to heaven. And so whatever pain and suffering you were going through, it's over. Heaven is different. Can't tell you how it's different, but when I read the Bible, I believe it's different. And you won't have those kind of sufferings. It's not easy for us here that are left. The question is, do we believe and have faith and know that comfort is coming for all of us? So we're going to have communion. And what I'd like for you to think about is, you know, do I have my personal faith life in a position that I know when my time comes, whether that's, you know, 2 minutes from now or 55 years from now or 100 years from now, that I know I'm going to heaven. And to keep that in mind as we reach out to family and friends to make sure they're ready to go in that same place. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read, and when I need you guys to respond, I will say the people said. You with me? Okay. The Lord be with you, and the people said,
also with you.
Lift up your hearts, and the people said,
we lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God, and the people said,
it is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed in us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. And the people said,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim relief to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of my new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. And the people said,
Christ.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And God's people said, Amen. Amen. So as you come forward for communion today, we have bread and juice. I don't know if the tradition for the church has been, but the altar's open, and if you want to pause there and have a time of prayer for yourself, feel free to do that. If you do not want to participate with the bread and the juice, I still have the pre-filled cups, and I'd be happy to give you some of those to use. The United Methodist Church communion's open for everyone. You do not have to be a member. You do need to believe in Jesus Christ. You may come forward for communion at this time if you wish. Thank you. Father, we're so grateful that we can come forward and participate in this communion service today. It's more than remembrance. It's a respectful way for us to thank you for all you do, share for us, be with us, comfort, guide us, direct us. Let us be open to your voice, to your message. Father, be with us all as we go out into your world. Let us remember that most people are kind and generous. Let us be the leaders of that kind and generous pact. Let us show your grace and your love for all the world to see. Let us be able to reach out to bring those that do not know and love you to you. You've given us this opportunity to share your love with the whole world. Let us take advantage of it and do it in all the ways that you have given us. Amen.